Hello and welcome to another episode of Corgitown USA. I am Candy. In my lap is Chuckles, our spokes corg.
Hi, I'm Catherine, and somewhere around my feet is my little corgi, Digby.
Yes, and you have your honorary corgi?
I have my honorary corgi, Indy.
He's a senior. And then we have Mortimer Barnabas and Booger. And if you have been following us, we last season we lost Hammer. That was our my little corgi at DM. And now we have Tito.
Right, because she...
There was a corgi-sized hole.
Yeah, there was a corgi-sized hole. And as we like to joke, Candy's ovaries were screaming at her, so she needed to get pregnant with a corgi again.
It's a substance abuse problem.
It is.
I get sad, get a corgi. I get sad, get another corgi. I'm sad again. It's time for another corgi.
Yes.
OCD is real. Obsessive corgi disorder. But Tito is our puppy.
Tito is adorable.
So now we have Mortimer, Booger, Chuckles, Tito, Digby, Indy.
Indy. We just have a
and they're all in studio today, by
they
the way.
Are.
So if you hear borks or we lose you mid-broadcast, we will be back. It happens.
It happens.
But we do have all kinds of content about health, safety of your corgi, of your pets in general, traveling with your pet, talk about training, grooming, all of those things that are helpful. We also have a little bit of entertainment. We bring on creators. So we're going to keep talking about health a little bit.
We'll talk about health. So these are the things that I learned when you gifted me with Digby. So some people know the story. I had not had a dog in about 35 years. It was my ex's dog. And growing up, you know, we would get stray dogs, whatever. What I never knew, raisins, toxic, poisonous, whatever, raisins and then the grapes and then the garlic, which I cook with a lot, onions, so many things around the house.
You don't want going in the dog.
You don't want going in the dog in any way, shape, or form.
And corgis eat everything.
Oh my gosh. Corgis eat absolutely everything.
Appetites wrapped in fur.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. You drop anything and it's a panic to keep Digby away.
That's why we trained leave it.
Yes. We train leave it.
Yes. So... if you aren't new here, thank you for following us here well into season 5. We had Dr. Sugarman. He has a program called Vetsplanation. He's an ER vet. We're so grateful to have him. All of you wonderful vets out there, we're so grateful for you, your work. We know it's a very tough position that you're in, you and your entire team, and you help us keep our pets alive and healthy. We are forever grateful for that. And we also know you keep a packed schedule. So we're very, very grateful to have Dr. Sugarman back. So we'd bring him back?
Yes, let's bring him back.
Welcome, Doctor. Thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Candy Cat and Chuckles and all of the corgi community. I really appreciate that. Yep.
thank you. And if for those that are listening that are new, will you please just tell us a little bit about yourself and your show?
Yeah. So I'm an emergency veterinarian. I've actually been in the veterinary field since I was 13, so like 29 years at this point.
Wow.
And yeah. And I also love educating. So I have a podcast called Vetsplanation, and it basically helps pet parents understand how to keep their pets happy, healthy, and safe.
Which are the most important things. So thank you so much.
Exactly.
Definitely most important things. And we figured since you're listening to this broadcast, we're in the throes of spring. Spring springs into summer. That means that things bloom, that we are watering things. Things are growing. There are flowers and plants and trees and nuts and all kinds of things.
And so what I found over at my house, I have volunteer tomatoes. What's a volunteer tomato, you may ask? It is suddenly, we had some rain here in Phoenix, Arizona, and suddenly tomato plants are popping up. So I will be transplanting. Yes, I will be transplanting them. It's possible, you know, birds will eat the tomatoes or something and
drop them.
And so I'll transplant them. That's another way, just so you know. Well, I've checked everything as Dr. Sugarman goes into this. Well, I've checked everything. Well, I don't have those. Birds
and wind.
And wind. And that may be one of the reasons why Candy hates birds, but that's beside the point.
We're not going to talk about my strained relationship with winged creatures. But yes, so Dr. Sugarman, tell us kind of, should we go through some sort of common ones? Kind of tell us your expertise and what you think.
Yeah, absolutely. So I kind of picked seven of the like very common ones that people don't really think about, but I kind of want to talk about like bigger picture first.
Okay.
So one of the things about like plants is I kind of put them into two big groups. So the first group is like the highly toxic plants. Those are the ones that potentially could be so dead, like could be deadly. Mm. So, and then there's every other plant. Every other plant can still potentially cause a problem. Like people don't think about that because even things like apples, there was a dog that ate a ton of apples and he would eat the core, everything. He would just swallow the whole thing.
That has arsenic. Yes.
It does have arsenic. So like tons of that could cause arsenic poisoning, or you can even have blockages from it because they ate so much of it. You know, so really like any plant could potentially be a problem if they eat enough of it, but it may not be something that's deadly yet. Right.
Yes.
So, yeah. So we'll kind of go over like seven toxic plants that I felt like are coming up during our spring and summer season here. And then also ones that I feel like are really deadly.
Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. Cause there's, and so we're talking about, am I to understand this correctly? We're talking about toxic versus poisonous. That's kind of
correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Toxic is not great, but poisonous, yikes. Yeah.
Poisonous, okay. Terrible. Right. That is like have to be hospitalized type thing versus toxic is it caused a problem, but it may not be something that is deadly.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. So I was going to start with sago palms. I'm from California, and I saw sago palms a lot. Sago palms
everywhere.
Everywhere. I had one in my front yard. I didn't even know that that's what it was, right? And I think that that's one interesting thing is half the time, even as a veterinarian, like I work with animals, right? And I'm supposed to know a lot of toxins, but I couldn't tell you what a lot of these look like. Like I definitely have like plants in my front yard that my wife is like, oh, that's a blah blah plant. I'm like, great. That I had no idea. So sago palms. We'll talk about sago palms first. I've heard sago palms are in your area as well, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And my Mortimer actually got a hold of the nut, which is the most toxic part.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So definitely like any part of the plant is toxic, but the nut itself is like the most toxic part of that. And it could be just that they're chewing on a leaf. It could be that they're chewing on the seeds. Like it doesn't even have to be that it's fully ingested. It's just chewing on it could be that toxic.
Because it's a compound, right? That's in the plant.
There's like multiple different types of toxins in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I wasn't going to go into like all the toxins because I feel like that's just so. Sure. Yeah.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's going to remember that, right?
Well, one thing I thought was interesting. So when Mortimer got a hold of his, I'm very mindful of things such as sago palms because they can be deadly.
Yeah.
If you don't know, and there, but what was interesting to me is I recognized it because I was hypervigilant and it had blown into my yard when we had been out of town.
Yes.
Mortimer got a hold of it, chewed the skin off of it before I could get it out of him. Mm-hmm. And this was right at the height of COVID and every veterinary office was just completely bursting at the seams with patients. So we had a hard time getting in, and I'm in a metro area. We have several vets and emergency vets around us. I'm grateful that way.
Because that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, we have several options, and I had to call six separate, and it was in the daytime, so my regular vet was open too. They didn't even have any emergency appointments available, and I finally had to plead with the last one I called. I know you guys are busy, but if you can't treat, can you give me some guidance? Because I know you can induce vomiting. There are ways to do that, but we don't typically advise that because we don't. You need to know what it is, how long it happened, all these different things. It's really best to leave to the professionals. So finally, the lady put me on hold. She's like, all right, we can squeeze you in. We get it. And so gratefully, we were saved. But we had this whole course of treatment. It was about $4,000 worth of a mishap. But he's with me now today, yes, thank God.
Exactly.
And so we were able to get him quick care. But also one thing they told me, because there was a lot of follow-up, is that this toxin can actually cause problems up to 2 weeks later.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, especially from the seed, because it's in all the oils of the seed that it can just stick with them because it loves fat. So it'll just stick in their body for a long period of time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm pathologically afraid of those plants. I see them. I'm not going anywhere near there.
As you should be, as all dogs should be, right? Like these can be really deadly. They usually will start out with just vomiting, diarrhea, bloody diarrhea. So we call that hematochezia. It can turn into like bloody vomit. They can cause liver damage. Like that is the most of the time when I see them is people don't even know, right? They just know that their pet has been vomiting, having diarrhea. they come in and they're like, I don't know, it's getting worse. Like, it's not getting better. I fed a bland diet. And then we see that their liver values are just through the roof. Oh. And that causes a lot more problems. That can cause them to have clotting problems. So their blood cannot clot. They'll have bruising. And then it can unfortunately lead to, you know, it can unfortunately lead to death because it can get so bad. And like I said, I saw this a lot in California, and it could, most of the time people didn't even know. They had no clue. Like they, most of the time people didn't even know what a sago palm was. They're like, I don't know. It's a miniature palm tree in my yard. That's all I have. Right. So yeah, those are for me, like the number one most deadly plant I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. How scary. And that's, mm-hmm. We did an episode on this when it happened. And that was about 3 seasons ago.
Yes.
And I did post a picture of what it looks like. So I will include a link down in the description box of some of these plants. And I might run them through you, Dr. Sugarman, if you know,
yeah, like absolutely.
The right one, right? So that way those listening or those viewing on YouTube, you can reference. So, okay. So sago palms, number one.
Yeah, sago palms, number one. And you had mentioned before, like you had to do this medication for like a couple of weeks. It's usually acetylcysteine and it tastes terrible. So I usually tell people, like, if they have to, if their vet does prescribe that, you can mix it with like apple juice or something to like decrease the bitterness of it.
What a great tip. Yeah, we had to use the little syringe and he was not happy.
Yeah,
they don't like it. No. Exactly. All right. So we'll move on to tulips and daffodils. Because I know that a lot of people will have those outside. Like right now I have random daffodils that are popping up. And people will bring them inside a lot because of Easter, right? They're beautiful. Right. They're Easter plants. So people love them.
Are they wild? Do they grow wild, daffodils?
They grow wild here.
I don't know.
I think I've seen them.
Yeah. They can grow wild and people plant tulips.
Okay.
And that's.
Yes. That's the big problem is planting them. Exactly. So like I said, they don't really realize what they are, but they are actually part of the Liliaceae family. So people might know that of the lily family.
Yes.
So they can be very toxic. They're also kind of with like, hyacinths. I might be saying that wrong. Sorry.
Yes. Hyacinths. Yes. Yeah, I think that's right.
Thank you. But the most part, like toxic portion of this is the bulb, like you were saying. You know, it has like two toxins in that bulb that cause problems. And when they're chewed or they're swallowed, even just like the plant part of it, that either the bulb or just the plant part of it, it has these like crystals in it that kind of explode. And it does make them almost like drool because their mouth is very irritated.
Holy moly.
Yeah. It can also go down into places like their esophagus. So like their esophagus can get these crystals in it and they just have like this really bad irritation in the esophagus as well. They don't really want to eat, you know, they don't feel very good. They just kind of feel terrible.
Right? And are these deadly? And I understand that any toxin in high amounts, yes, can be. But when we talk about the scale, I mean, are daffodils and tulips, are they up there with like the sagos?
They can be, depending on how much they get. And I'd say the most common thing that I see is that people will put their little tulip bulbs in a bag and then they set it outside ready to go. Plant all their tulips and then suddenly they come back and 3/4 of them are gone.
Yeah.
Right.
And you also, you know, the other thing is you don't think about it, but you plant tulips in the winter, in the fall and in the winter. Mm. And that's when you might get the package from, you know, wherever you're getting your tulips from. So be careful of that when you get that little package in.
They must be tasty.
Yeah, apparently they smell really good to them. I'm not really sure why.
Something's enticing.
Yep, exactly.
Yep. Goodness.
But it can be deadly. So with enough of them, it can actually cause difficulty breathing. It can cause increases in their heart rate. And if that isn't treated, then that can potentially become deadly.
Mm. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they definitely. So if they just eat the little plant part, like they just chew on the leaves or something, it's not going to be a big deal. But when they ingest so many of those tulip bulbs, that's when it becomes a really big deal.
Well, and in any bulb, really, you don't want your dog eating.
No.
I can't think of a bulb that's like, sure, it's fine. I mean, you really don't want them eating any bulb.
Ideally. I mean, I've definitely taken bulbs out of dogs from foreign body surgeries. So it's,
Goodness gracious.
Right. And so another very common ones we talked about kind of being in the Liliaceae family. So lilies are very specific to like Easter, right? We have Easter lilies. Lots of people have them in their yards, but they also bring them inside. They get them in a lot of bouquets and a lot of people don't realize that they're in bouquets. And this is a lot more for cats than it is for dogs, but I feel like a lot of people who have corgis have cats as well. So,
sure.
Yes.
Yeah. So I do want to make sure to touch on them a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. And also for Mother's Day, that's another common time that I see them. And typically what these do is like any part of that plant, it doesn't even matter if it's just the water that's in the vase, even that is deadly.
Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah. And my favorite is my favorite flower is a stargazer. And oh, beautiful, so,
right?
And they're absolutely beautiful. And I have two cats and I've always got to put them somewhere where the cats can't get them, which is
exactly.
pretty much almost nowhere.
Right.
It's a good thing you're doing that though. Yeah. Yes, goodness yeah. gracious.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, and the sago too. When I had Mortimer's story, I had shared with a friend and they said that they had a family friend that had a golden that they lost and they didn't realize until after they lost him, he had been drinking the water out of their potted sago.
Ooh. Oh yeah, exactly. And even that still have toxin in it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Gosh. So you're saying like the stargazer lily, we have the Easter lily, tiger lilies are another really common one. So there are two different types of lilies though. People don't realize that there's a true lily and those are the true lilies. And there's also fake lilies. So you do have to like go look them up to try to figure out if this is a true lily, which are in the Liliaceae family, or is this a fake lily then?
Right.
I'm taking notes over here.
Yeah.
If I wasn't paranoid enough already.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry.
Good to know. Good
yeah. But like I said, definitely any part of it is toxic. The pollen even is toxic. I've definitely had my cat like put his nose in the pollen and then just, you'll see just pollen on their face. And then it's the best way to know that that's what they got into, right? Because you can see it clearly on their face. Yeah. But if they drink the water, you don't know. If they just chew on part of the plant, you wouldn't know. And it doesn't matter. The petals, the leaves, all of it is going to be toxic.
Goodness.
Yeah. So for cats, this causes them to go into kidney failure. Mm-hmm. And it can be really bad, you know, depending on like how long it's been since they've gotten into that plant. Cats are very difficult to make vomit. So it's difficult to like get them to vomit any of that pieces up. We always try, but I'd say it's only successful about 50% of the time because we just don't have a good medication to make them vomit.
Yeah. Well, in kidney failure, that is pretty, that's pretty scary. That's, you kind of need your kidneys to live.
Yeah.
Yes.
And again, can be very deadly. Like we try to get them hospitalized to try to flush out their system as much as possible to get as many toxins out. But it can, if it's already so much damage done, because again, a lot of people don't know if they just drank the water and they come in because they're already having symptoms of vomiting and just really thirsty, peeing a lot, sitting their head over the water bowl. I'd say that's one of my most common ones. It's so sad. They just like sit over the water bowl wanting to drink, but they're so nauseous that they can't.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So they bring them in, we do blood work and we see that those kidney values are sky high. And then we start asking about like, did anybody bring any flowers and for Mother's Day or for Easter and, you know, find out that there were lilies in the house.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I really wish they actually were sold with a little warning label, you know, next to them that says like, please do not buy this if you have a house with cats, but
yeah.
So then to kind of round out the lilies, so I was talking about like the true lilies versus the false lilies, right? So the lily of the valley, which you would assume is a true lily because it literally has it in its name, right?
It's not.
it's not a true lily.
But still toxic.
Still toxic. Exactly.
Yeah. To me, so it doesn't matter. They're all a danger to my pets.
Yes,
exactly.
Goodness.
Yeah. So they have very similar symptoms to things like foxgloves. And so I know that a lot of people do know about foxgloves because it's a big thing with people, you know, not just with pets, but initially it just causes vomiting and diarrhea, which we've kind of seen throughout this whole process, right? Like almost everything causes vomiting and diarrhea, which makes it very difficult to know what kind of toxin they get into.
Because it aggravates everything, right? It aggravates the liver, it aggravates the belly, it aggravates the intestines. Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets so bad that it can actually aggravate their heart as well. It'll cause a heart arrhythmia. So their heart will not beat correctly.
Oh.
And if it doesn't beat correctly, you don't get blood out to the rest of the body. And that can be detrimental as well.
Right. Yikes.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are really big ones as well. You know, like I said, people don't always realize that even though it's not a true lily, it's still a problem.
Wow. Yeah.
And then, so the next one I picked because people in the Pacific Northwest know this a lot. And I don't know if you guys will have this out there or not, but we have rhododendrons.
I don't think I've seen any here unless they've been planted like potted.
Yeah. Potted or planted.
Yeah, potted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or azaleas is the other one that are kind of common.
Wow.
Well, because those are thirsty plants.
Yes.
So they really shouldn't. Yes,
they need a lot. Exactly. Yeah. They need a lot of rain. So
yeah.
So it's very common here. Like literally, I think 3/4 of my property is just rhododendrons, which is very sad because I can't have any goats here, but that's okay.
Oh, no. So it's toxic to goats as well.
It's very toxic to goats. It will instantly kill them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, like most people don't realize that the rhododendrons are very toxic. So that'll cause them to like be anorexic, or for us, we call anorexia, meaning that they just can't eat. They just don't feel good. They don't want to eat. It can cause vomiting and diarrhea and really, really bad abdominal pain. So you'll see them really hunched over, just in a lot of pain. And at first, you don't really think that that's going to be something very toxic. But if they eat a very large amount of them, again, they go out and they're alone and they just love this stuff and just want to eat a bunch of it, that can still cause like heart arrhythmias, again, where their heart is not beating correctly. It can cause them to have really low blood pressure and can, interestingly, cause a transient blindness. So for like a short period of time, they can be completely blind.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have a desert plant like that. I can't remember which one it is. It's not cactus family, but it's a desert plant. It has the orange kind of looks like claws. But if the wind hits it just right, mm-hmm. If you get too close, it can make you blind.
Oh, really?
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. I can't remember what it's called, but yes. Sorry.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. But it also can cause like tremors and seizures and a coma as well. Yeah.
That one's nasty. Who knew? Right?
Exactly. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So rhododendron, Eric's parents have that up in Washington when we bring the dogs up there. I had no idea. The dogs don't go near it, but okay.
Well, that's good because Digby likes to eat stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely keep away from it. I mean, like small amounts, again, are probably just going to cause vomiting and diarrhea, but those bigger amounts. And if you have a dog who's just like, doesn't care, and it's just going to keep munching on anything, you know, loves sticks. Like think about how many dogs love chewing on sticks. If they just like chew and ingest a bunch of that, it'll definitely cause a much worse toxicity. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. So oleander is going to be our next one.
We have it everywhere in Phoenix.
Do you?
Oh, yes. Well, what happened was people from the Midwest wanted to bring a piece of home with them. Mm-hmm. And so they brought their oleanders. And
there's a lot in California, too.
Yeah.
There is. Yeah, exactly.
The oleanders are all over the place. And in the city of Phoenix, we have multi-use trails. So when you develop whatever multi-use trails, and multi-use also non-motorized vehicles and horses specifically. Mm-hmm. And you cannot, if the multi-use trail borders your property or whatever, and you've got oleanders that go onto that multi-use trail, you can get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, because it can kill the horses.
Oh, it'll kill the horses.
Yeah, instantly. Absolutely.
It'll kill everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Hence the book, White Oleander.
Well, let's talk about the toxicity of oleander, because that is a concern here locally. And I have some in my front yard. Mm-hmm. And on our walks, we come across them. And I used to have some in my backyard until I found out, this was many years ago, the first original members of the Corgi Committee, I had Lilo and Zelda. Lilo was very discerning. He would turn his nose up at many things, much unlike Corgis.
Yeah, but, exactly.
But my Zelda, she was classic Corgi, would eat every single thing her nose touched.
Yep.
We were always at the vet getting something removed or extricated from the dog that went in. Much as we were fastidious, my goodness, that girl just couldn't keep things out of her mouth. And so when I learned about that, I had the oleander pulled up. But what's interesting to me about oleander is I think the reason why a lot of people don't know they're toxic is because I don't think it tastes good. It's not like the daffodils and the tulips.
Right.
And even Zelda wouldn't even chew on it or eat it because it was yucky. But let's talk about the toxicity of it, because we do have a lot of it here. I mean, how dangerous is it to get near? Tell us what you know about the oleander.
Yeah. So it's not as common here, as far as I know, at least. Again, like I'm not a huge plant person, but I've not seen any here. But it is really dangerous. So again, like it's interesting that it's very popular there. And the reason why is probably because it's very drought resistant and really pretty, right?
Yeah, I don't water mine in the front.
Yeah.
I refuse.
But it'll start out just with like that same vomiting and diarrhea, just kind of as all the other plants do, right? Just some just really mild, but then it can be really deadly. So again, it can cause those arrhythmias that we see from some of those other plants. So the heart's just not going to beat correctly. We're going to cause blood pressure changes. And this is the really interesting thing about oleanders, is that it's not just that the blood pressure drops. It could be high or it could be low, which is really weird because, you know, there's not a lot of toxicities that you're just like, well, it could be this or it could be this. Like, we just don't know. So it could cause either one. And then it'll cause neurological problems. So it'll cause like tremors and seizures and ataxia, which means that they're really wobbly. So they look like they're drunk. Mm-hmm. And the other really deadly part of it is that it causes something called hyperkalemia, which means that the potassium is really high. And potassium is very deadly when it's high. Like we, yes. It's very deadly when it's low, and it's very deadly when it's high. Like we need it in this very perfect space. Mm-hmm. So when it's really high, that'll cause a lot of heart problems, and it can cause the heart to stop.
Yeah.
So goodness. Yeah. So a lot of times on that blood work, that's the one thing that you're going to see from oleanders, is that it will cause their potassium will just be really high, and they're going to start looking at some of those things that could potentially cause that high potassium, which is so many different things. You know, so it's always good to know what your plants are before you even go into the vet, so that you kind of know, have an idea of like what you could tell them you have.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Keep them away. From the
yeah, oleander. Exactly.
Sometimes and you can't avoid it, but you definitely keep it out of them.
Exactly. Yeah. And then the last one I was going to talk about was yew plants. So it's a really common tree, and it's actually called the tree of death.
So, well, that says it all right there.
Yes.
That right. made my adrenaline go up a little
bit. Yeah, I know, right? The tree of death. That's its nickname. Yeah. So the leaves, the bark, the seeds, all of it is very highly toxic. And the average dog, like let's say the average medium-sized dog, would only have to chew on the branch or just like eat an ounce of the leaves in order for it to be fatal. Like how toxic it is. Yeah.
Where do these grow? Do we know?
I don't know, actually.
Wow. I'll see if I can find a blurb on it.
Yeah. And then like for them, again, like it can cause like smaller doses of it are going to cause the vomiting and the diarrhea. It'll potentially cause seizures. It can cause tremors and it can cause difficulty breathing. And interestingly, the other weird thing about this one is it can also cause them to have a really aggressive behavior.
Mm, wow.
Yeah.
Mess with the endocrinology maybe a little bit.
I think that it's something to do with the brain. My assumption is that it's going to be the toxic host to the brain. But okay. I tried to find some papers on it, but it didn't really there wasn't a lot out there that said like, this is how this happens.
Sure. So
that's, right. I kind of have to assume at this point.
Right.
Yeah. But then again, like if it's a big enough dose, like death could pretty much happen immediately.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm going to lose sleep tonight now that I know there's something just called a tree of death.
Just look it up on the internet and make sure we're not anywhere near one.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to wind up hermits with my dog. Don't you walk them? Nope. Too many plants.
Don't walk them. Yeah, exactly.
We're just going to risk obesity. Okay. We're going to risk obesity because we're not going to walk and exercise among all those dangers.
We'll just put them in a bubble. You know, you can walk them that way. Yeah.
Be cute little corgi balloons.
Yeah, exactly. But tree like I had said, yes. And like I had said before, like all plants are pretty much have some sort of toxicity to them, right? Like you were talking about tomato plants, like tomato plants have a toxicity to them. It's going to make them vomit and diarrhea. Irises, hydrangeas, daisies, those can all cause some sort of GI disorders. So that vomiting, diarrhea, and nauseousness, not wanting to eat type things.
Right. Well, and I'll also drop in the comments the ASPCA poison hotline.
Yeah, that's going to
talk about that. That is on speed dial. Yeah.
Nice.
I have it on speed dial on my phone. I have four corgis. Perfect. I'm a masochist. But the that happened recently with us because Chuckles is not really my eater.
Right.
Mortimer's more the starving, going to eat everything. Chuckles typically doesn't just pick up anything and eat it. But we had gotten back from a walk, and early in the morning, he woke me up vomiting in bed, which is highly unlike him. Normally he'll wake me up and go, hey, can you put me down there? Something's gonna happen. And he didn't do that. And then I look at the bottom of the bed and there was a date.
Oh.
Some sort of date. And of course I'm panicking because I'm going, we have lost our window of opportunity for muscle here.
Right.
Because we hadn't been anywhere in 12 hours.
Yeah.
So I'm taking pictures and I'm putting it in a little baggie in case I need it. I'm calling ASPCA and I said, I think this is a date. I know we have some date palms in the neighborhood. Yeah. And And I called them and they said, okay, just watch for GI symptoms, but he should be okay if he got it out. Was kind of, that was this particular isolated. If you think your dog has eaten one still, please call. Don't trust my anecdote. But, but the, you know, they said he should be okay. And they said, it's not a grape and it's not a sago palm. So we're not too worried as long as you watch him for but, and it was whole. Like, I think we like blueberries here.
Okay.
We eat bloobs. And so I think we call them bloobs. And so I think he thought it was a bloob and was like, a bloob and just swallowed it whole because it just came out right like it was on
the plate. You know, the really cool thing too about the ASPCA is that you can actually send them a picture of it. Mm-hmm. Like they, you can, send them a picture through the email and they'll be able to look it up. I will say that they cannot do that with mushrooms just real quick. So mushrooms vary from like all the regions.
Too many varieties, right?
Yeah. And there's no way that they can tell what it is. So there is a really cool website for mushrooms. You can go on to Facebook and they have the emergency toxic mushroom identification, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And you can post pictures on there and like where you're at. And they're all mycologists. So that's all that they do is just identify mushrooms. And so they'll identify for you what it is and, you know, and if it's going to be a problem.
Right. Yeah. Well, in Arizona, we're lucky. Our mushrooms, most of ours in Arizona are not toxic to pets.
Right.
Nice. It doesn't mean that it's not going to make them their tummy upset because it's fungus that they've just eaten.
Right. And we have spores though. We have the spores that cause
Valley fever.
So exactly.
That's a big deal here in Arizona is Valley fever.
Yeah. Anywhere in the Sonoran Desert, we have the spores. And what's scary to me about Valley fever, you can't prevent it.
They're
low to the ground. They can get it in their paws. They can get extremities. They can breathe it in from the spores.
Yep.
And actually, Tito's breeder, his first corgi died of which I'm hearing that Valley fever is highly survivable.
It is absolutely.
But
it's
if you know that's
what it is,
right? And you have those cases where no symptoms and then all of a sudden it's too far. And that stuff is scary. And we don't mean to scare you, dear audience. I'm insane and I freak out about everything.
She does.
I really do.
She does.
But we just want you to be aware. It's good to know if you have these things in your yard, what to keep them away from. And I think just as like applying a little bit of common sense, right? Like it's not that you have to be afraid of the world. Just if you see something where there's a lot of fallen leaves or some nuts from a sago or some lilies and daffodils, then you don't want to let your pet just kind of go in and nose around and keep them away from it, right? Like those kind of things, if we look at it in those terms,
scared. You want to be aware of what happens because in a split second, like with a child, in a split second. So at least be aware of what it is so that you have the wherewithal. Okay, grab it, go, put it in a baggie, get it to the vet. Make sure we know what it was.
And time is muscle.
We know that. Yeah.
Yeah. And time is muscle. That's why I freaked out about the date because I had been through corgis eating things they shouldn't long enough in my life to know that the quicker that you get attention, the better.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And here we are. That had been in the system just sitting there waiting to come back out. And I'm just very grateful. That's all it was.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Ugh. Scary.
And there's also a really cool thing too that people can look up before they decide to like plant a lot of these things. If you go to Home Depot, most of them will have a sign up that says like these are the most highly toxic plants, these are the mildly toxic plants, and these are like not toxic plants. Again, like I still put those under some sort of a toxic plant because they can still cause problems, but you know, it'll list a lot of those to say like do not plant these, you know, if you have pets. So I think that's a fantastic resource. And then
it is.
The other thing on the ASPCA is they, on their website, they have tons of pictures of plants and you can just click on them and see like which plant it is, or you can click on it to see if like, let's say you decide you want to plant a lily, like you could click on that lily and it'll tell you if it's a toxic one or not. And they have like, there's over 1,000 plants on there. So they have quite a lot of plants on there.
Thank you for that resource. That's amazing. And I will drop that number in there. I'll drop that in the description box and I'll try to find this mushroom page and put that in there. And again, I mean, if you're listening, viewing, you want to, time is muscle. If you know that they've gotten a hold of something, if they have chewed or eaten, I call ASPCA. They do charge a fee because they have to pay their vets.
Correct.
Some of the insurance companies will cover it. But if you call them, it's worth to me, if they've eaten something and I'm not sure, I'll snap a picture of it. I'll call them. I'll open up a case. And typically, if you do have to go to the vet, they're going to want you to open a case with them if it's something they've ingested.
And it's usually cheaper for you to do it than for us to do it. So
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So I do usually tell people like to have them call and then they'll give you a case number. You just need to give me that case number. And sometimes you're on your way to the vet and they're like, actually, it's not that toxic. Don't worry about it. You don't have to go in. You know?
Right. Like with the date. That took mm-hmm. that was the thing, is I'm calling them first going, is this an ER situation?
Right.
What do I need to do next? And it was a wait and see type of thing. And they were able to guide me there and kind of let me breathe a little easier.
Yeah.
But that's, I think it's around $95 now if you call them.
Exactly.
But worth it for sure. But a lot of them, just keep in mind that if it's a good idea to call them, because sometimes, most of the time, your vet will have you open a case with them anyway, because they are the experts on toxicity and things.
Right.
Yes.
And then you get a case number and they work your case number. And a lot of your pet insurance companies will cover that costs, mm-hmm. will reimburse for that, I found out. So that's great. I think we've
even a couple of microchip companies that'll cover it too. I think it's Home Again. Yeah, I think it's that one. Yeah, that will cover it as well.
That's good to know to look into, because I hadn't thought about that. Mm-hmm. We have some interlopers
research.
breaching the perimeter here. Sorry about all the boards.
It's okay.
But I think that we've covered a good number of comments. Have we missed anything that you want to touch on before we let you get back to your evening? Yeah.
The only thing I wanted to touch on too is like fertilizers real quick, because most people are really worried about fertilizers. Most fertilizers are okay, but there are two big ones that do cause a problem. So one of them is the blood meal fertilizer. It can have a lot of iron in it, and that can cause an iron toxicity. And then the other one is the bone meal fertilizer. And those, like, literally it's pieces of bone in it. And so they'll eat a ton of it and they just have giant balls of bone in their stomach that all just kind of congeal together. But most of the other ones are okay. Like, there are some that will have an organophosphate in it, which is a toxin. So, but I'd say it's not, they have to eat quite a lot of it. Or sometimes I'll just ask them, when I see symptoms of it, like, do you have organophosphates or did you put any fertilizer out? But I'd say it's not as common anymore.
That's good to know. And I know that the cocoa mulch was a problem for a while.
Yeah. For eating it.
Yeah, because cocoa's got chocolate in it.
Yes,
exactly.
It's got all the smells. I mean, you put out cocoa mulch. Yum.
Yes. You pick chocolate in the yard. How am I supposed to avoid that?
Exactly. Yeah, it was the chocolate. And then also it's very sharp. And so we'd have a lot of them we'd have to remove them because they just wouldn't be able to break it down.
Oh, yikes. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for taking through that list.
Thanks. Now I got to spend the next 2 hours calming her down. But, you know, hey.
We were going to go on a walk when we were done recording today. And I'm like, hey, I can't. There's too many talking to clients.
We have to keep walking our pets.
We don't encourage.
We have to keep walking ourselves.
We do encourage you to take them out on adventures. Exactly. Just be mindful of the flora and fauna around. And if you don't follow Dr. Sugarman and Vetsplanation Podcast, you should. So much useful information there as pet parents on when to freak out, I guess, when not to freak out, what are next steps, what to look for. Just very good health information. We can bring you our own anecdotes, but you want to listen to Dr. Sugarman because he is the one with the education.
Yes.
So I will drop a link down to your show so that our audience can find you. And I will also put a list of links to what these plants look like in the description box and try to find that mushroom group as well so that you do have access to those. And thank you so much, Dr. Sugarman. We appreciate you more than you know.
Of course. Thank you guys. I'm sorry that every time I come on, I just scare you guys, but
it's good to know. I mean, the reason why we want to do this, and actually this happened. So when I had the experience with Mortimer and the sago palm, I happened to see the seed. It looked like a kidney bean.
Right.
And I thought that is out of place in my yard. So I have rocks. I'm in Phoenix. I don't try to keep grass. My dogs are used to going potty on the rocks. It's normal for us. But I have a little spot of pavers, and that's when I saw it. And then I said, I better pick that up. I wonder if that's a sago nut. And of course, Mortimer got it before. You were talking about the split second thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so I pulled it out and I took a picture of it, worked with the ASPCA there. Yeah, that's what we think this is too. But what saved us is I knew what that was.
Exactly.
I thought exactly. I might know what that was. And right. and so even though I didn't keep it out of him, he's still here with me mm-hmm. because I knew what it was. We were able to get him the care. We knew what next steps, we knew how dire it was to get
right. care. Exactly. So, and I think that's the biggest thing is just the education of just knowing it beforehand, right. you know?
Right. Yes. And knowing where these are, where the toxins are so that you mm-hmm. can avoid them. I mean, I think that's just so helpful. And then if you do, unfortunately, happen to come into a situation where they do get a hold of something, now you know what it looks like, and your doctors, your vet team can help you assess what next steps are. So
exactly.
Oh, those are landscapers. We have landscapers.
That's
well, thank you for dealing with all the borks, Dr. Sugarman. Have a great rest of your evening.
Oh, thanks. You too.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
We hope that you enjoyed this very noisy episode.
Yes.
We will drop noisy. Those links in the description box. Please like and subscribe. It's not always this noisy, but we will see you next week. All things Corgi Pet Parent Lifestyle.
I'm Catherine.
I'm Candy. And in my lap is Chuckles and everybody, the whole cacophony of Berks.
That's
we'll
right.
see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Bye.